Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
He's a former Brewers pitcher. You can hear him on his podcast, Buses, Benches, and Baseball. It's time to hear from FanDuel Sports Network Brewers analyst, Tim Dillard, as he joins Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Our guy, Tim Dillard, I said last week that this week we will be more positive. We will not be as negative as we were last week. And by God, Tim Dillard, I am going to stick by that mantra today with you.
Yeah, you know, when I came on, you had me coming out to crash test dummies. I was like, that's not very positive.
The bumper music is just our music is just out of rotator. We don't even know what's coming next. So that's just
that's
complete luck. Like, what was the song we played earlier, Charlie? I hate you. I hate everything about you or whatever.
Something like that.
Something like that. That was the music. And I was like, oh, perfect. I'm going to play a Halliburton highlight at the end of the game. So I played the Halliburton Pacers highlight from beating the Bucks last night, coming off of that song. So yeah, it's kind of random. Okay, Tim Dillard. So let's talk about positives. Isaac Collins, I think, would be considered a surprise. You know, I don't think I had him making the roster before spring training started, but he's been a pleasant surprise for the Brewers.
Well, that's one thing the Brewers have become, is the brand of opportunity. They're giving guys opportunity to showcase what they can do. And Collins, who's, you know, really good infielder, they shove him out in left field. And what's he do? He just keeps getting on base and coming up with big hits, doing most of his damage from the left side. But last night, second batter of the game, sends one deep for his first homer. So, you wonder, like, who's it going to be this week? You know, somebody else is going to put themselves at the forefront. And you could also throw Caleb Durbin in the mix.
That's where I was going next.
Guys, yep. Yeah, a couple of guys that are just getting it done because they're playing more. I know I've seen a lineup. Don't believe Collins is in the lineup today. But Durbin is back out there, 7 RBIs, like in the last, you know, since he's been here, 11 games? I mean, he's made an impact. These guys are impact players, and they're doing it by getting on base and really just eliminating the strikeout altogether. Like, make contact, run it out, see what happens, and put pressure on the defense.
On base percentage, .366 for Caleb Durbin with a .257 batting average. He definitely has been better than I thought he would be with a bat to this point. That's definitely been good. The other guy that has been, well, the other two guys that have been really good so far this year, Bryce Durang at .317 right now with a .368 on base. Frelick .302 with a .383 batting average. Now, last night they both had a couple of strikeouts, but both of those guys, I don't know if this is real or not. I don't know if both of them can be 300 hitters for 6 months, but a hell of a first month of the season for both of them.
Well, I think they've both proven that, you know, their plan of attack against different pitchers, it works. Look, most of what Bryce Durang has done is he can hit the ball to left field with the best of them. And now pitchers are seeing that, and they're trying to pitch him different ways. And then they fall behind. He ends up walking. So let's don't overlook. It's not just hitting the ball, right? If you want to bat 300, you have to do some other things well. Obviously, don't strike out, but also get on base. You know, don't force a pitch, you know, to try to get a hit. And that's what we've seen. I mean, even Caleb Durbin, that guy's been hit 4 times this year, you know, in his limited time. That's amazing. That just shows that there's guys that just will do anything to get on base, you know, and, or basically do anything except strike out, which is like the worst outcome for any at bat. I mean, you go back to last night too, Sal Frelick got hit with bases loaded. Yep. I mean, what we're seeing here is a team that is willing to grind. It's very frustrating as a pitcher when you have a team that just will not go quietly. It takes six or seven or eight pitches to strike them out. And you're like, you don't really fist pump on those because you're like, yeah, I struck him out. But it's like, it took that many pitches to get rid of him. And then you end up walking the next guy, or the next guy ambushes you a double or whatever. And suddenly you're like, what has happened? You know, so they're not going quietly. And that's the way this team needs to play.
What about Christian Yelich? You know, there's been talk for years of, can he get back to being that guy that's hit 30 home runs, being around 300, and he had an 0 for last night. But before that, he had a nice little string of games where he was, you know, getting hits and multiple hits per game going forward. He's shown some power this month as well. From what you've seen of Christian Yelich, because you saw him earlier in his career too, is he close to maybe getting back to where he was years ago?
I think right now he's playing it safe. I mean, pitchers are pitching him very, very meticulous because he's susceptible to the strikeout. You know, if they throw stuff below the zone, he, you know, maybe ends up swinging at it. Or if they locate a good cutter inside, he's been swinging at it. But if they miss too much, he ends up walking. I think he walked a couple times last night, once or twice. There were 10 different Brewers that reached base last night. But he's part of that. He's at the very, you know, top three in the batting order. And it's all about, you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay. That's why he's so pivotal in that moment, because he's right behind a guy like Jackson Churio, who swings over 50% first pitch. So you can't have a bunch of guys in a row that swing first pitch. Otherwise, you're going to help some pitchers out, you know, three innings, and you got starters that end up going seven innings because three of those innings they're throwing 10 pitches or less. So he's strategically placed in a certain spot where he's able to see a lot of pitches, and that's going to benefit him. And when he decides to get aggressive, he's going to start crushing the baseball even more. We have seen that from Reese Hoskins. Reese was so patient at the beginning of the year. And now, probably in the last 2 weeks, he has like, you know what? If I see the first pitch and it's good, I'm going after it. And you saw him. He's on a tear.
I'm going to ask you something on behalf of baseball fans that listen to this show that consistently ask me this question. And I'm not quite sure. And all the time we've talked, I've never brought it up to you. So There's always talk of pitching coaches game planning with a pitcher and a catcher going into a start, right? Or a bullpen pitcher working with the guy warming up in the bullpen about the next hitter or two coming up and how they want to attack him. Whatever the case may be, fine. But when you have, say, a hitting coach, and how much of game planning is being done with the hitters on that team going into every game as far as how they want to attack a pitcher, meaning, yes, Churio attacks first pitches often, but in a certain game, we want to let this guy work a little bit more. We can go back to attacking the next guy who comes out of the bullpen or whatever the case may be. How much of that happens from the hitter perspective?
Well, absolutely. I mean, every day I'm witnessing in the clubhouse, these guys have meetings galore. There's bullpen meetings. There's the individual starting pitcher meetings. There's the hitter meeting that goes over the pitcher that night. And it matters if this team, I mean, the White Sox right now, I think are, you know, tops, or I think they're first in all of baseball, or at least top three in baseball in walks given up. So they're not throwing a ton of strikes. You have to let your team know that. And you have to let your team know where do they fall into trouble. And that translates differently with different hitter because everyone's specific. So it's like, hey, if you're a guy that pulls everything, just know that this guy misses arms, you know, arm side away from you, you know, a lot, and that's where all his walks come from. So then you adjust accordingly. But, yeah, it's a very real thing. These guys need to know, and pitchers are doing the same thing. Hey, who are my base stealers? Who are my guys that swing first pitch? Who are the guys that'll bunt? You know, is this guy a flat hitter? Is this guy a power hitter? Has he got oppo gap power? You're asking all these questions. You're trying to put together what your plan is against the lineup, and you see how the lineup's balanced. You know, they don't make a mistake to this guy. I think
every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We saw last night Freddie Peralta in a kind of a big moment early in the ball game decide, I'm not going to pitch to Luis Robert Jr. because If he makes a mistake, he'll hit it into oblivion. So he was like, I'll walk him, get the next guy out. And he did. So there's certain moments where you have to know what your matchup is, and if there's a different way to end the inning, then you lean into that.
Talk to Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Wisconsin, Milwaukee Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at DimTillard. The other question I guess I would have off of that is, when you're talking about a team that steals a lot of bases like the Brewers, and thankfully they're doing it again, they're second behind the Cubs, I believe, right now. Yep. And the Cubs are playing like a damn softball team as much as they're scoring runs. I mean, that's ridiculous what they're doing. But as far as the pressure that's put on them, I would assume that also affects how teams game plan coming into Milwaukee to face the Brewers or when the Brewers come into town.
Well, it's funny because Pat Murphy talks about this all the time. And, you know, in the baseball realm, it totally makes sense. And he says sometimes it's just the threat of the stolen base that gives the people problems, like gives the opponents problems. Like once the Brewers come into town, I guarantee they have multiple meetings about, hey, how are we going to control this running game? You know, what are we going to do? We've even seen a couple of pitch outs this year. Like who does pitch outs anymore? Not many people, but they know in the back of their head, they're like, hey, this team is going to run. So all of a sudden you got pitchers trying to speed up their delivery to try to, hey, I got to give my catcher a chance. And you got catchers popping up early instead of framing balls. And it all affects the game positively for the Brewers. And sometimes they don't even have to run. But again, it's just the threat of the run. If you never run, then it doesn't really matter. There's no threat there. And it's all going off of, can you steal the base or is it a caught stealing? I know there was a caught stealing last night, but what you're doing is you're testing. You're testing. And I mean, catchers can get antsy back there. They're going to pop up early and that can affect a lot of things, especially trying to steal strikes.
Tim, we talk about this Tigers team. They have White Sox, 7 wins on the season. As a team coming in facing a team that bad, how hard is it to not try to overlook them in a game scenario or in a series scenario when you're facing a team struggling that bad who has struggled this bad for the last couple of years?
I don't think players really look at that at all. I mean, I think they're aware, but they don't really waste a lot of brain power to it. That's our job. That's our job in media to be like, this team should win. This team should never. But again, they're made up of big leaguers. They know how to play. They've been doing this their whole lives. They have some of the best coaching, game planning. They're going through all the film. They're trying to get everything right. These guys are in the big leagues for a reason. Doesn't matter the team. Doesn't really matter the record, because that's the way baseball is designed. Anybody can beat anybody, especially if you think you have it in the bag, or especially if you think, oh, yeah, I'll just kind of mentally take this game off. Like, baseball has no room for that. And it's hard to have a successful career if you're taking moments off like that. I think, personally, that's what makes the Brewers so good, because I think you can tell that, I mean, it's top to bottom in the lineup, in the field. These guys are trying every single day, and that is a hard thing to do, especially when you have so many everyday players like the Brewers have. But it's good to see.
I want to dive into the starting pitchers for tonight. Shane Smith, a guy that was in the Brewers organization, pitching well for the White Sox, 2-3 ERA tonight against the crew. What did you think of Shane Smith when he was with the crew?
Well, just one of those guys, undrafted free agent that the Brewers had in the farm system for 3 years, ended up being a Rule 5 pick in December. And, you know, the White Sox, they have to keep him in the big leagues. If not, he goes back to the Brewers. So they put him in the big leagues, and he's been doing well. But the Brewers, you know, the way they kind of put together pitching and stuff, they find these guys, but at the same time, they can't keep everybody on the roster. And I bet if they could go back, they probably would have been like, you know what, let's don't let this guy go this early. Let's protect him. But at the same time, they had to protect some guys that they know that were going to help in the big league this year immediately. But after all the injuries, they probably can look back in hindsight and be like, eh. But again, you can't keep everybody. They do what they can with the information they have in front of them. But at the same time, like, what if he scuffles and the, you know, White Sox are like, well, we got to make a move. And then suddenly the Brewers have the chance to get him back. So I don't know. I don't think there's any ill will or anything like that. Good players will find a way.
Tobias Myers going for the Brewers tonight. His first start, 4 innings, couple of runs, but 4 walks in that outing, 82 pitches thrown. What did you see from him in that first start back coming off of injury in San Francisco? What do you expect for tonight?
Yeah, just last time I was just the typical, hey, you haven't pitched against, you know, in the big league team in a while, and that's exactly what it looks like. You know, missing some spots here and there, 20 pitch innings, 4 walks, like that's about right, you know, and then you expect better than that the next time out. So he didn't throw any curveballs, which I thought was interesting. Maybe he'll go back to that some. I have no idea, but I think he'll lean into the cutter a lot more and get the fastball up in the zone. Listen, when he is good, he is at the very, very top of that strike zone, just lives there. People know it's coming, and they still have a tough time getting any damage against it. So for him, just look for him to locate the four-seam fastball and the cutter at the top of the zone. And I think if he just threw that the entire game, he could still throw pretty good. But don't sleep on that slider. It's nasty.
Okay, I lied. I got another one based on what you said. I'm curious. So when you go into a game, you have a game plan for the pitcher, and you're going to attack with these couple of pitches. That's where you're going to be heavy. But let's say you get out there in the first inning or so, all of a sudden, ball isn't reacting the way you think. How often does that game plan change to going away from what you thought you were going to do in the first inning or so because a certain pitch isn't moving like the way you wanted to or something else, and you go a different direction?
Well, I think, you know, places like Colorado, you see that a lot. We actually saw a little bit of that in San Francisco. For whatever reason, both teams were having issues with the baseball, issues with the infield grass. And sometimes, you know, you want to pitch to contact. Case in point, last night we saw Freddie trying to establish the fastballs, what you call it. Establish it. Right. Throw a lot of fastballs. You get a couple strikes on them, and then you start mixing in, you know, the off-speed stuff for a punch-out. And I think when he got jumped twice, you know, gave up two, you know, solo homers, I think he had to go, you know what, I'm going to change this. And he did. So next inning comes out throwing a lot more off-speed, and then fastball was the put-away pitch, which I love. You have to make adjustments. You don't know what their game plan is, and they'll show you. They'll show you when they, you know, say, I'm not going to swing at that slider or that changeup down, and then they are absolutely on the heater, whether they foul it off or hit it, you know, fair. That tells a lot to a pitcher and a lot to a catcher, and you adjust accordingly. And that's exactly what he did. That's why he put up 5 zeros after that, and the bullpen came in, did the same thing. And what I love about that outing is Freddie Peralta, of course, but five fastballs he got the last inning he pitched. That was the sixth inning, and he was just, I'm going to blow every pitch by the guy. I love that. It puts an exclamation point on what had happened in the first inning, going, you know, I'm going to come full circle with the fastball, and I'm going to shove with it. And that's pretty amazing stuff.
It's great stuff from Tim Dillard. He's always amazing. Each and every week he joins us. So thankful for it.
Yeah, so more positive this week. I love it, Sparky. Thank you.
Okay, well, promises are off for next week, so don't expect this again. Tim Dillard, FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin. Brewers analyst, follow him on Twitter @DimTiller. Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you. See you guys.